Blog Talk Radio.
I relinquish my right to seek revenge and ask you to ease my damaged emotions. Thank you for setting me free from the bondage of my bitterness. I now ask you to bless those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasteth me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Because I follow the things that is good. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
All hail the power of Jesus.
Children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. We also encourage you to visit our online Bible Institute at houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. That is www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com.
Separated life in this present world.
We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Have you ever desired to see your family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers come to the Lord? Perhaps you've invited them to church, and they did not come, or they came and did not understand what was being taught because they could not ask questions. God wants these people to come to Him and to know Him. Yet who will reach these people that you know and love? Beloved, it must be you. God has placed these people in your life and you in their lives in order for you to reach them for Him. You may feel that you don't know how, yet God would not put you in a position to do something without giving you the tools to accomplish this. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. and House of David Ministries, Inc. has been positioned by the Lord to provide tools for people just like you, who have a desire but are lacking the resources. We have developed home Bible study curriculum that will help you reach your family, friends, co-workers, and community with the truth of the Word of God. These studies will facilitate a 2 to 3 months Bible study. They come complete with lessons, worksheets, and answer keys. We have also included a flyer that you can personalize to suit the date, time, and location for your Bible study. These studies have been formatted for duplication and distribution to as many people as possible. You could choose from some of these topics: When Jesus Comes, a study of eternal life, what Christians believe, how to break a curse and receive God's blessing, how to increase your faith, how to pray so that God will hear you, In the Beginning and Understanding the Supernatural, Angels and Demons. Don't let fear, doubt, and unbelief stop you from being the extension of Jesus Christ that every believer is called to be. Cast down the imaginations from the enemy that is telling you that you are unequipped or unprepared. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers are hungry and thirsty. Some are lost and dying, and you have what they need. I'm sorry. They may not come to you, but you can take the word of God to them. The Hindu, the Muslim, the Jehovah's Witness, and the atheist may never step foot in your church, but they will accept an invitation to your home. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a building or a facility. It consists of every believer, and wherever we go, all the resources of the kingdom are accessible by the Spirit of God that lives within us. Beloved, it is time to reach out and be the church. Luke 17, verse 21 says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Once again, I encourage you to make use of these opportunities. Donations will be appreciated for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003.
Of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner
of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com. /Reverend Davis. That's R-E-V Davis. Our lessons will be in the beginning, the end, Tonight we will be teaching in the beginning, chapter 1. Man, the cosmos, earth, how did it all begin? How will it end? These are questions that, as in the past generations, and still challenges the minds of people today. Yet the answers have already been given. It is not like God to leave his creation without understanding and direction. It is with deep thought and the seeking of the revelation of God that this lesson was prepared. I trust that the Spirit of God will further illuminate your minds regarding each of these points. As we begin, as we endeavor to study the beginning and the end of things, I want to first point out something about God, our Father and Creator. Please know that the creation man cannot define the Creator. We can only understand the things that he has revealed to us about himself and his creations. When dealing with creation, I must first establish that God the Creator is not a created being. Rather, he is eternally existent. He is the I Am, denoting no beginning and no ending. Exodus 3 verse 14 says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." The Hebrew word for I am is Aya, pronounced Aya, meaning to be, become, come to pass, exist, to exist, be in existence, to abide, remain, continue. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, it speaks of the eternal God. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them." The Hebrew word for eternal is kedem, pronounced kedem, meaning east, antiquity, ancient, front, that which is before, aforetime. God is ever existing. and is not governed by or subject to time. It is difficult for many to grasp this concept of God being eternal, because we are infinite beings having a beginning and ending. God has no beginning and has not revealed to us every aspect of creation. Yet he allows us to chronicle the history of those things that are relative to the human experience. The angels. In the study of the beginning, I must address the angelic host. The Bible gives us evidence of angelic existence before that of the earth and the natural realm. The spiritual realm existed before the natural realm. And so the angelic host, whose original habitat was the spirit realm, were witnesses to the creation of the natural realm in which earth exists. For we see in the book of Job 38, 4 through 7, this event it reads, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, as thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Although we see the activity of angels throughout the Word of God, it tells little about their creation and activity outside of ministering on earth for God and unto the servants of God. Yet it does tell us that Satan, Lucifer, who is a fallen cherub, certain category of angel, was created. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15, tells us of this. It reads, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden and the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbonate, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast up on the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." We will take a short break and come right back. king of Tyrus is Satan, and I will explain to you how. First, Tyre was a city of the Phoenicians, celebrated for traffic, commercial industry, especially through shipping, and very rich. There was a prince of Tyrus that Satan influenced to believe that he was God. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. This physical prince of Tyrus was a pawn of the spiritual king of Tyrus, Satan, to whom the above text of Scripture was addressed. So we see that from this Scripture, Satan was created. We can deduce from this that the entire angelic host, including the fallen angels, demons, are all created beings. Beyond this, we have very little given to us regarding the beginning of angelic host. Natural beginnings. In studying beginnings, we must start with the book of Genesis. Genesis seems to be an account of the beginning of the natural realm, and not that of the spiritual realm. God seems to show us and explain to us, in this case mankind, what is relevant to us. It is the natural realm that is relevant to mankind, for it is in that we reside. So let us examine Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It is important that you understand that this was not the beginning of the spiritual realm, rather the natural realm. God did not record the beginnings of the spiritual realm for humanity to understand. If in fact there is a beginning of the spiritual realm, when trying to understand the difference between the natural creation and spiritual creation, we must understand that natural or physical things are similar in appearance, not everything, to spiritual things. Yet, in composition, they are different. Physical things are composed of natural matter. Dust particles are the material substance of the universe that has mass, occupies space, and is convertible to energy. While spiritual things are composed of pneuma or breath, air that breathe. Regarding the creation in Genesis 1 verse 1, it is pertaining to natural matter and not the third heaven or spiritual realm that God dwells in. Created by the word of God. Although there is a difference of time regarding creation of the natural and spiritual realms, there is yet a common thread that is attached to both, and that is, they were both created by the word of God, Jesus Christ. John 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Creation, even for the natural realm, is never a physical act with God. Rather, it is always relative to spoken word. The Word of God is the building blocks of creation, both natural and spiritual. Psalms 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." God made all of creation for himself, both invisible things spiritual and visible things natural. Colossians 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Creation was made for God's pleasure, according to Revelation 4, verse 11, which says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Let us get back to Genesis 1, verse 1. I'm sorry. This text of Scripture has to do with the physical realm and not the spiritual realm. To gain a better understanding of this text, we must examine the two key words in it, which are beginning and created. The Hebrew word for beginning is reshit, pronounced reshit, meaning first, beginning, best, chief. The Hebrew word for created is bara, pronounced bara, meaning to create, shaped, formed, or fashioned. So we can deduce that in the beginning of the physical or natural realm, the first thing that God did was he began to create, shape, and form things. But what things did he create in the beginning? Now, the first thing that we begin to think is that he created the stars and planets. Yet we would be wrong in this assumption. I learned not to go further than the word will go. Let us look at Genesis 1 again, verse 1. Again it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the above scripture, there are two things that are created. The first thing that God created is the vacuum that we call space, which he called heaven. It was not called heavens plural, rather heaven singular. This is due to the fact that planetary bodies in the cosmos, which have heavens above each, were not yet created. The Hebrew word for heaven is shamayim, pronounced shamayim, meaning heaven, heavens, sky, visible heaven, as the abode of the stars, as the visible universe, the sky, meaning heaven, heavens, atmosphere. God created space in which he would deposit the universe with its galaxies and planetary bodies. The heavens were not originally created a specific size. Rather, God spoke space and then he stretched it out. Isaiah 42, verse 5 says, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. The cosmos are not held together by some great gravitational glue. Rather, it is in Jesus Christ that all things consist. He is the substance that holds every planet and galaxy in its place. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Greek word for consist is sanistemi, pronounced sonistemi, meaning to place together, to set in some place, to bring or band together, to set one with another, to put together by way of composition or combination, to teach, to combine or comparing, to put together, unite parts into one whole. It is Jesus Christ that unites all the parts of the universe into a whole. It's by him that all things consist or work together. The second thing that God created was the earth. He did not create the sun, moon, or other larger stellar bodies. Neither did he create the earth originally as part of the solar system. He did not have the sun that it rotated around, or a moon that helped with its tides, incoming and outgoing of oceans and seas based on gravitational forces of the sun and moon. Rather, the waters bound were set by his word through a decree. Job 38, verse 8 through 11 says, or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. God did not create the earth without purpose. He created it to be inhabited and not in vain. Isaiah 48 verse 18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he had established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. This, in the beginning of the original creation. We'll take a short break and come right back.
Oh,
popular thought, it did not have in it all the things that we see in the sky presently. The other planetary bodies may not have been created for millions of years after the original creation. In Genesis 1, verses 14 through 18, we see the creation of the rest of the heavenly bodies 2 days before Adam was created. It reads, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the 4th day. Again, the earth and the heavens were not created on the 4th day. Nowhere in the word of God does it say this. They were not created in time, governed by days, rather in eternity. Creation and recreation. The next thing that I believe happens is between verses 1 and 2. I'm sorry. In which many call the gap theory. The gap theory says that there was a space of time in which something happened between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1 that caused the earth to fall into this chaotic state. This period is what many believe to be perhaps millions of years in which our God revealed history in the Holy Bible does not give details about. Many, including myself, believe that something caused the earth to fall into a chaotic state from its original creation. I believe that prehistoric beings, dinosaurs, roamed the original creation of earth. Let me give you some food for thought. I believe that dinosaurs were part of the original creation, yet they may not have been created to be carnivores, meat eaters, more likely herbivores, plant eaters. This fits the nature of God. Satan's fall may have caused both climatic change and change in the planet's original inhabitants. There, Satan and other fallen angels, fall may have given them the opportunity to influence these beings, just as they influence and possess people and animals today. Just like demons, spirits influence animals of our day, it is quite possible that they influence, thus perverted the true purpose of the dinosaurs. Their extinction could well be because of a judgment to stop the perversion of these beings. Let us get back to the gap theory, in which we have a distinctive marker, between the original creation of the earth and the recreation or re-establishing of the earth. Genesis 1 verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Let us dig into this scripture to gain understanding. What does it mean that the earth was without form and void? Why would God, the great creator, make something without form and void? No good. Let us examine these words, void and without form. The Hebrew word for form is tohus, pronounced tohu, meaning formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, wasteland, wilderness, place of chaos. The Hebrew word for void is bohu, pronounced bohu, meaning emptiness, void, and waste. Why would God create a formless mass of emptiness and confusion when the Bible tells us He's not the author, the originator of confusion? First Corinthians 14 verse 33. As we examine the rest of God's creative acts, we never see an example of Him creating something broken, chaotic, or formless. Rather, He created whole, good, and perfect things. From this we can deduce that verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 is not part of the original creation, rather a recreation due to something chaotic having happened to the earth, causing a need to be renovated. We know that the earth renovation is a biblical principle, for we see it in Revelation 21 verse 1, regarding the new heaven and new earth. It reads, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." God is in the renovation business. I strongly believe that in Genesis 1, verse 2, onward, we are seeing an act of renovation and creation of the earth. This point can be supported by the fact that God told Adam to replenish, refill, denoting something here prior, the earth. What would man rule over in eternity? Being that the angels already have certain positions of authority. I do not know how long Satan was on earth before God created Adam in His image. We look like God and likeness. We are composed or made up of three parts like God. And gave him the dominion that Satan thought he had in the natural realm. This must have enraged Satan, causing him to want to corrupt and destroy this being that looked like and was composed like the God he had rebelled against and tried to take his authority. How could God place this constant reminder of himself in the person of Adam, in the natural realm in which he, Satan, thought he would reign? This gives us better insight as to why Satan did what he did in the Garden of Eden. Let us ever be mindful of the enemy and why he hates us, for we have the dominion in which he thought he could secure. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission, we encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We encourage you to visit our social Christian network at www.ihocm.ning.com for all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more. Visit our Christian bookstore at
Desert.
we continue on this spiritual journey, our lessons for tonight, in the beginning, chapter 1. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you'd like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Almont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. At this time, I would like to extend an invitation to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you and that accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, beloved, God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us the will and freedom of choice. We choose to disobey and go our own sinful ways, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from Him, He is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your life. I'm going to ask you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ now? Romans 3. Verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 16, verse 24, He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Beloved, salvation is a gift, and you can receive it this very minute if you will admit you are a sinner. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. God wants to give you the best gift ever offered anyone. Why not accept him? God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life abundant and eternal. Here is how you can receive Jesus Christ. First, you must admit your need. I am a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you, my heart, my life is meaningless. I know that Jesus Christ can save me. And he's the only one who can save me. I believe in my heart that you, Lord, raised him from the dead. Dear Lord, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. I am sorry for my sins. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Dearly beloved, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Receiving Jesus Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. This is the beginning of a wonderful new life in Jesus Christ. To help you grow spiritually, you must do the following. Read your Bible daily to know Jesus Christ better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Jesus Christ is. As Christ's representative in a needy world, you must demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. As we come to the end of our show tonight, we would like to thank you for tuning in. And we encourage you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. That is R-E-V Davis. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he had torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you. And good night.